Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are continuing to look at Jesus and doctrine, and doctrine in the New Testament specifically, and as we are considering our Lord's words in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, we are expanding this specifically in relation to the poor and the rich. And we started out with the conclusion once again in Matthew chapter 7 regarding how the people responded to Jesus's teaching or his doctrine, specifically in relation to his authority. And then when we looked at Matthew chapter 5, we started out looking at the Beatitudes here in Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 3 concerning the poor. And then we looked at a parallel account, if you will, in Luke, where we looked at Luke chapter 6, verses 20 and 24. And this really allows us to expand the words of our Lord as it relates to not only the poor, but also the rich. And then we did some studies in some other passages of scripture. We looked at the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. And now we are expanding it also to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And Lord willing, we will also look at James and look at some of the words that James shares in the first chapter of James. So here we are looking now specifically at some of the words that the Apostle Paul communicates to Timothy in this letter. And what we are emphasizing first, or what we've looked at first, is the area of doctrine. And this again, we must not overlook how important the teaching is in relation to the message and the response of the people, and whether or not this message or this teaching, this instruction or doctrine is in agreement with God's word and God himself, which again is one and the same, who God is and what he says. So this instruction is communicated in the person of Jesus Christ, is pointed out in Hebrews in the first chapter, where it tells us God, who has spoken in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So this doctrine, even when we look at more exhaustively or expanding in relation to the New Testament, what our Lord Jesus taught, this doctrine is according to our Lord's teaching. So as we're considering this now in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that's what I really want to emphasize. And this is what I am trying to point out. I'm trying to point out that there is no disconnect in what the Lord said. Again, in this case, we're looking at what he said concerning the poor and the rich, and what is communicated throughout the New Testament as it relates to doctrine. And we should be aware of this. And anything that is not consistent, not in line with the words of our Lord, the instruction of God, the doctrine of God, is what has been described as heterodoctrine. Different doctrine, different teaching. And that's, again, what we're emphasizing here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, because this is what the Apostle Paul emphasizes. So again, as we continue now this study, we're coming through this passage of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. We left off here at verse 4. And I'm just going to read again verses 1 through 5, and we'll pick up in the study. So I'll be reading from the King James Version, again, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. God willing, we'll move on afterwards to verses 6 through 10, and then verses 17 through 19. And it reads, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. So you see, this is a sort of like this passage is picking up momentum. The words that the Apostle Paul is communicating to Timothy, these words are picking up momentum because he has a specific group in mind after he starts out concerning this relationship between masters and servants. He has a specific group in mind as it relates to teaching that is contrary to the doctrine of God and what Paul is teaching and what he is telling Timothy to teach. So at the root of it, you know, where we eventually get to the verse that we know so well, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The root of it is this love of money and this desire to be rich and to teach that godliness is gain, or that this is what it means to be loyal or devoted to God, is to be rich. This is why we are looking at this passage, and this is what the Apostle Paul is really working toward in this letter to Timothy, specifically in this portion of the letter to Timothy. So as I said before in this study, what I want to do is I want to pull out words and sort of highlight what the Apostle Paul is communicating and bring it into focus as it relates to what our Lord has been teaching and taught concerning the poor and the rich, because this message is consistent. There should not be teaching that is contrary to the teaching of Jesus Christ. And the word that again is communicated here is doctrine. There should not be doctrine that is contrary to the doctrine of Jesus Christ and therefore the doctrine of God and his name. So as we had already talked about this relationship between servants and masters and the importance that the servants honor their masters in this relationship so that the name of God and his doctrine is not blasphemed, we highlighted, we emphasized the importance of understanding the relationship here between obedience and the name of God and his doctrine, his instruction, so that we represent God. That's what we're called to. We are not called to be self-serving, but to have our hearts committed to serving God, loving him, obeying him. And this is the point of emphasis here. So, and again, as we talked about verse 2, we highlighted what the Apostle Paul, again, told Timothy he is to teach and exhort. That is to call others to obey or to take heed to what he is teaching, to encourage them, to plead with them, to listen and obey, to do what it is that God instructs us to do. And you find this all throughout the Old Testament. It was always a matter of the commandments of God, the word of God, communicated through the prophets, given in the commandments, and the people's responsibility to obey. Everybody responds, as I always say, everybody responds. It's just whether or not we respond in obedience. So this is what the call is here, and this is what the Apostle Paul is emphasizing. And therefore, he tells Timothy, once again, the emphasis on this relationship concerning servants and masters in these first two verses. One is masters who may not be believers. The other, the emphasis on masters who are believers. And in both cases, the responsibility is to serve God and to serve your masters with a heart toward pleasing God and therefore honoring your masters. So this is the relationship, and I'm not going to go into, you know, I'm not trying to emphasize slavery. So I'm just going to leave that part to the side, and I'm just telling you the healthy aspect of our responsibility as servants of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and obeying him and what he says. So moving on to what the Apostle Paul communicated then in verse 3, which is what we looked at again the last time that we looked at this passage. And the emphasis, again, is on those who teach otherwise. And the Apostle Paul gives a description of this. Now, keep in mind that he is pointing out that to teach otherwise is to not consent or to not be in agreement with what our Lord taught. And the doctrine, again, the instruction, which is according to godliness, which I've already talked about, it reflects, it demonstrates our devotion to God. And that is demonstrated in obedience. Always desiring to serve and please God according to what God tells us. And this comes through teaching. It comes through those who are responsible for communicating the word of God and as communicated by our Lord Jesus Christ or through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, refer to Hebrews where we are told that God in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son. So as we consider this in relation to the poor and the rich, this is the direction that the Apostle Paul is going. The mindset of those who feel like they are above being servants or those who feel like they now have this newfound liberty in Jesus Christ to rebel against all authority for the purpose of serving self and becoming rich or seeking after and lusting, desiring riches, worldly treasure, is contrary to sound doctrine. It's contrary to God's teaching. It's contrary to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who teach otherwise to do so, the Apostle Paul gives a description of these persons who do this, where he points out again in verse 4, he is proud. We talked about that, being self-conceited, high-minded, lifted up. And, you know, when you consider this once again, if you consider how bold these men and women are who are money grabbers at every opportunity and who exploit the flock of God, shake people down in the name of Jesus Christ, it is shameful, but they are proud and boastful always. It's without exception. And they live, you know, high on a horse, if you will. And they're always telling you about what you're supposed to be doing for God while they're raking in all your money. Which is really, really interesting. And, you know, it's always a question of, well, who are they accountable to? You know, who do they answer to? And obviously, the answer is they're not answering to God because everything that they're doing is contrary. But here's where I want to put an exclamation point on this. They will answer to God. You know, it doesn't appear like they have to answer now, but you can believe they will answer. So as this description of them being proud and bold, you know what? They're going to have to give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know it ain't going to be pretty because they are serving themselves. And the description that the Apostle Paul gives, you know, is contrary to godliness. It is contrary to godliness, what it means to be devoted to God, what it means to serve God, what it means to live for God, obeying his instruction. The reason why this becomes even more dangerous and more harmful is because it's coming from those who teach. And so they are affecting the masses. They are not just affecting the masses. They are affecting the people of God with their doctrine. That's what doctrine does. You say, well, preacher, you got all of this from Jesus saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And where he talked about blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. But woe be unto the rich. Yes, I got all of that out of this. I got all of this from that. I got all of this from Jesus giving us or pointing out the relationship between himself and Zacchaeus. I got all of this from Jesus teaching us about the rich man and Lazarus. I got all of this from what the scripture says concerning our Lord in riches and poverty, the rich and the poor. So, it always starts with teaching. It always starts with teaching. And this, again, is contrary doctrine. So these characteristics, being proud, not knowing anything, although we lift them up, we elevate them. But the scripture says they don't know anything. They're always searching, always disputing, always bringing about these questions that always work in their favor. They dismiss or disagree with sound teaching, which is wholesome words. But they are drawn to and attract people with corrupt teaching. So it's like poison, you know. So they're always disputing about things, always striving. There's always envy and jealousy, ill will, strife and contention. You know, that's what money does. that's what money does. Money does that within our own families. So you can believe in religious circles that this is going to happen, but this is more specifically pointed out as it relates to those teaching otherwise, you know, and this is the manifestation. These are the characteristics of who they are and how they live, what they teach. So as the Apostle Paul goes on, he speaks again of their minds being corrupt. You know, he deals with the words that are described here concerning them supposing that gain is godliness. You know, when he describes their minds and them being destitute of the truth, he is speaking of them again constantly being in disputes, corrupt, and that corruption is in ruin. They are in a state of a rotted mind. You've heard of a rotten apple, you've heard of rotten fruit. You've even heard of a rotten tree, but a rotten mind, how do you remedy that? Their mind is in a state of decay. And again, that's what money does to you. Money takes you on a trip. It takes you on an ego trip. It takes you on a trip where you feel like you become blinded by your desire for riches and for the pleasures of this world. And it snuffs out your faith. And again, I don't want to get ahead of what else is communicated here. But again, just consider the emphasis, how the Apostle Paul moves toward this in this sixth chapter in 1 Timothy, where he is describing these people and nothing that he's saying is attractive. So when you think about how we think, when you consider how we think, what we feel, where our will is, what it is that we desire, and you think that that is in a state of rot or in a state of decay, that is bad. You know, so they are destitute of the truth. They do not hold the truth. They are, not just not familiar with it. They don't have it at all. You know, the truth is kept from them. And that's of their own volition, and because their mind is preoccupied with something else. And they're determined in that regard. They are determined to stay the course with their desire for money. And the scripture describes this as money getting. That is, they suppose that gain is godliness, that money getting is equivalent to holiness and being pious or devoted and loyal to God. And that's, we see that all the time. We see this all the time. This description is so accurate that, you know, it's a wonder how anybody could disagree with it, because it's so obvious. And when, you know, when we consider that this is the, you know, these are the characteristics of those who teach otherwise. Remember, this is what we started with in verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, if any person teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about this group of people. They are teaching otherwise. And the problem with the church, or those who call themselves God's people, is that we oftentimes have the same lust and desire. So now our mind becomes rotted by association, right? When you take a rotted piece of fruit and you keep it next to another rotten piece of fruit, you heard one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. Yep. And that's how it is, especially when you consider the teaching and the mindset. Man, we've got to stay away from that poison. And listen, it comes through men and women. You have just as many greedy women out there preaching this nonsense from the pulpit under the influence of all of these wayward pastors, preachers, and teachers teaching all of this nonsense, self-appointed apostles, self-appointed bishops and pastors, obviously not called by God, because their doctrine is contrary to God, contrary to his name, contrary to his word, contrary to his instruction, contrary to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we are looking at Jesus and doctrine. This is why we're looking at doctrine in the New Testament. Again, this is not exclusive, or this does not dismiss what the Lord communicated in the Old Testament through his prophets, because it's the same message. There were problems with the way that God's people treated the poor in the Old Testament. There were problems with the way that people lusted after the things and the pleasures of the world in the Old Testament. So it is a consistent theme throughout the scriptures, but our emphasis is on doctrine in the New Testament and considering what our Lord taught and expanding this to what is taught throughout the New Testament scriptures. So again, as we continue to consider what the Apostle Paul is communicating here, we'll look now in the second half of what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I will read verses 6 through 10. He says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Now that is in contrast, where he says those who teach otherwise, they suppose that gain is godliness. That's at the end of verse 5. Supposing that gain is godliness. That's really where the emphasis is. Supposing that gain is godliness. In verse 6, though, he says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." So this is what we move from. We move from this mindset that accumulating things or money grabbing, getting things, demonstrates godliness. That's what we move from. We move from procuring all things that we want and acquiring all things that we desire as being equivalent to our devotion to God and a reflection of our relationship to God, when in actuality, the emphasis here is that it is just the contrary. Jesus doesn't say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, he doesn't say in Luke chapter 6, verse 20, "Blessed are the rich." These are his words. He says, "Blessed are the poor." These are Jesus's words. So again, as uncomfortable as people often are, because the retort or the rebuttal is always, "Well, that doesn't mean you can't be rich." And that will, Paul is going to address that. And as much as Jesus did, Jesus gets to the heart of the problem. And this is what he communicated when he spoke about a certain rich man and Lazarus. This is what is pointed out when we see Zacchaeus. You know, Jesus gets to the heart of the problem, and that's, you know, that's communicated as part of his teaching. And so there's a warning that he gives in Luke chapter 6, verse 24. He gives a warning: "Woe to you that are rich." You know, that should get your attention. That should get your attention. And the words here should get our attention likewise. So, considering this again, it's just important to understand these are the words of the Lord. These aren't my words. I'm just repeating what the Lord has said. So godliness with contentment is great gain. And this is where we talk about our devotion to God and being content with being godly, God's people, faithful to God, devoted to God. Because everything that we need is found in God. This is what Jesus is going to explain as he continues with his teaching in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Jesus is going to talk about this. If we have the Lord, what else do we need? He owns everything. So this is what Jesus is saying, you know, as the scripture tells us, you know, as far as our affection, as far as our treasure, everything is to be focused above, heavenward. So with that in mind, that's where we find contentment. He doesn't just say be content. He says godliness with contentment is great gain. He does that as a contrast to the Apostle Paul in this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Does that as a contrast to what those who teach otherwise are saying. They're saying that gain is godliness. The Apostle Paul is saying godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So this again, this description of having a great gain or experiencing gain that is according to what the Lord provides and who he is, finding everything in him, being satisfied with him. As the song says, I am satisfied with Jesus. You know, that's the question for us. Is Jesus enough? Is the Lord enough for us to take care of all of our needs? He said he would. So is God a liar? That's rhetorical, of course. You know, so when we think of this, our devotion to God, godliness, holiness, our faithfulness to him with self-satisfaction, which is not self-satisfaction the way that we think of it. It is being satisfied ourselves with him. That's what it means. It's not being confident in me. It's being content in me because of him. You know, knowing that I have all sufficiency, knowing that you have all sufficiency, knowing that we have all sufficiency in him. And this is what the scripture says. God will supply all of our needs. That's you look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, for example, where the Apostle Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And then in verse 19, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we find the contentment because he knows that God is going to supply all of their needs according to God's riches in glory. And you don't get any richer than God. You don't get any higher than God. You don't get any more glorious than God. So this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. So the great gain, the contentment, the sufficiency and being devoted to God and serving God is big, high, large, exceeding gain. We have acquired and procured, been furnished with everything we need in him. So when we consider also what is communicated in Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 5, where the message here is, he says, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. Where it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And these are the words of our Lord. So let's be content. Let's know that we have all that we need in the Lord himself. And Lord willing, we will pick up this study the next time. Until then, remember that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.